Off the Ball, GAA.
He makes really, really good decisions and he executes under pressure. So like that's what Limerick have lost, is probably the best goalie in the country from 2024 All-Star.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
And you're welcome to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you to 5 o'clock this evening. Now, we hope you're doing great around the country. All that Christmas shopping is getting done. Preparations are going well for you all. What is coming up today? Well, it is Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 0 already in the Premier League, the lunchtime game that's underway at the moment, 32 minutes on the watch. We got reaction to that, all the score updates this afternoon, and plenty of discussion as well on Football Saturday. That's coming up with Owen Doyle, Shane Keegan and Johnny Ward between 3 and 5. From about 1:30, we'll bring you an extended interview in two parts today with Clare's All-Ireland senior hurling winning captain Tony Kelly to reflect on a magical year for the Banner. If you want to get in contact with the show today, you can on WhatsApp 087 9 180 180. That is 087 9 180 180. You can also text us 53106. At a cost of 30 cents, Shane Hannan and Cameron Hill are with me for the news round this Saturday lunchtime. Shane, how are you?
Good afternoon, John. How are things? You strike me as a man who would have his Christmas shopping done significantly early, possibly May or June. Maybe not that early.
I can see the laughs.
I'd say you're organised.
I can see the laughs through the window. Not that organised.
No.
He's a shame.
No.
Give me a break, will you?
Some people impress me though when they're like, some years I'm better than others. This year I'm okay. I think if you have it all done by December 10th, you're a genius.
I did it all in the one full swoop on Thursday of this week.
Well, that's genius as well.
And I want to kill everybody at the end.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, metaphorically, of course. But when you're walking around the shops, it's very overstimulating.
The consumerism does, unfortunately, you get back into it. And it was funny because it was a beautiful carol. There was a Forgive Blood they were singing just off Grafton Street in Dublin here when I was walking into work. And it was just a beautiful, they're playing the trumpets and everything. It was just a magical moment. I'd gone, that's what Christmas is about, really.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of people less fortunate than yourselves. But look up, you always, if people are buying for you, you kind of feel, oh, well, I better buy. And obviously, there's people you want to buy for as well, children and that. But yeah, did it all on Thursday, got it all out of the way. But once you get into the role, I better add this or better add that, better. And then you just feel like you're in that wave of consumerism. Not that you enjoy it, but it has to be done as well.
We had Ronan O'Gara, of course, as per usual on Off the Ball Breakfast yesterday morning with myself and Cullum. And he was saying, you kind of take Irish Christmas for granted a little bit. Like in France, he was saying, there's not as many Christmas lights up on houses. The towns and cities aren't as well decorated. There's not the same maybe buzz and feel for Christmas. Similarly, when I was in America a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I was in Indiana around Halloween, and the Americans do Halloween very well. Like, you're seeing the Halloween decorations up in loads of places. But I think in Ireland, we maybe take for granted the fact that Christmas is, there's a nice Christmas atmosphere, everyone's happy, and sometimes when you're doing the shopping, you can fall into the pub and have a pint of stout by accident as well. Of course, you wouldn't intend that or plan it, but that just happens sometimes as well, John.
Cameron Hill, have you got set for Christmas?
The pitter-patter of little feet was me coming into the studio there. I think so. I think I'm ready to go. I'm one of those. And best of luck to everyone who's not in this position, but I managed to get it all done before this weekend. So in terms of presents and such. So
see the smug look on his face here?
Yeah, honestly, basking. So I am. So best of luck to everyone out there who's scrambling and listening to us. It's the perfect soundtrack to what's going to be a hectic afternoon, it seems, for them.
You have to have the small talk ready, I find, for the Christmas. If you're especially around, say, if I'm doing my Christmas shopping in Monaghan, you know a lot of people because it's your hometown. So you're stopping every 3 metres to chat to someone, and you have to have the same line ready to go. Like my sister, I remember going shopping with her on Christmas Eve one time, and every person that stopped was like, she was like, oh, just get the last few minute bits. She must have said that 200 times. The same line. You have to have it ready just to, otherwise you're stuck chatting to people left, right and centre. It's tough out there, Has to be done though.
I give my head down.
You keep your head down?
Just don't even come near me. Don't even look at me.
Incognito.
Just don't even look.
The Grinch Duggan.
Yeah.
See, I use the big day because you can use that like until New Year's basically.
All set for the big day.
Yeah, all set for the big day. That can mean anything. Could be a birthday in January.
Do you have the Bailey's bar? That sort of thing. Yeah. Got to have the questions ready.
Pink champagne. What are the sporting Christmas? So I would go to Leopardstown one day. I got the last day at Leopardstown. Mm. I'll always watch Munster, Leinster as well, and whatever Premier League is on, watch Spurs. But yourselves?
We go to Leopardstown on Stephen's Day, so I'm looking forward to that. A big kind of hill gathering, all the family from Wicklow. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then be plugged into the darts, to be honest.
It's Dartsmas.
See, I'm only going to arrive for the final of the darts.
Okay.
I'm going to bandwagon that.
Wow.
You see, you should do one of the evenings over Christmas, John. Make me a promise and just sit down and watch a random match.
Christmas gift for Shane Hannan.
Yeah, please. That's all I want for Christmas. John to watch the darts before the final.
Yeah, too much racing for him.
Yeah, done. Fair enough. Is there a racing pod over Christmas?
There was one yesterday, which Johnny, because I was otherwise engaged, with Johnny Ward and Tom Malone and Jen Mangan were on. And Jen Mangan, the family, it's really exciting because Jimmy Mangan, her father's a small trainer from Cork, and they've got a really good horse called Spillane's Tower, and they're running it in Kempton on what they call it over there, Boxing Day. Mm-hmm. And it's the favourite, so it's a really good story. And the colour is JB McManus, so that's Bland's Tower, one to watch out for. Yeah, no, but the racing, you can't look, you can either go as you're, yeah, socially as you're doing with your family in the 26th, mm-hmm. but if you're going to go the other way to the races, you can't. Look, the homework is very, very enjoyable, but this still has to be done.
You got to plug in.
You got to do the cards, as were. So doing the cards takes about 4 hours.
Okay. Wow.
Wow, fun.
To do it properly.
Nice.
So that's a thing. Probably sounds like pulling teeth for a lot of people. But
to the lay man or woman listening, doing the cards essentially mean your research entails looking at every single horse and every single race in detail.
Is that your line now when you meet people on the street? Doing the cards. So they don't know if it's cards. Christmas.
Oh, and then they don't get a Christmas card in January and go, well, where's my card? Are you not like me anymore?
Didn't mean that. Yeah.
It's not the cards John's busy with.
Every horse in every race. On Stephen's Day, there could be 15 meetings over the UK and Ireland. You might pick one, you might pick two. So I do Leopardstown in its entirety, and that might looking back at videos or whatever, and then I do Limerick, or I'd pick one race at Kempton and do that race.
So let's say an 8-race card, an average of 8 to, it could be anything, 8 to 15 horses in a race. So say 12 eights is...
The way I said it is a minute a horse.
Yeah.
Or 2 minutes a horse. So 2 minutes a horse by 40 horses, about an hour and a half.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. To do it right, but obviously you cut corners if you've done a long time.
People listening here, John Duggan makes it sound seamless. It's like it lands in and just starts talking here, but there's work that goes on behind the scenes.
Work goes on behind everything, and we're looking at Aston Villa here leading Manchester City by a goal to nil, 39 minutes in the watch here at Villa Park. You knew they'd be up for it. Villa haven't had a smoother run as they had last season at this time of the season, but it was John Duran, 4 goals in 4 games, just a strange goal. It was like straight through the middle. Mm. Tiedemann's nice ball through. Morgan Rogers is straight through. They beat the City defence, and an unselfish pass to John Duran taps it in, and it's 1-0.
You kind of never felt this era, period would ever come for this Man City team. You always felt that Pep was able, would be able to keep this Man City
team. Or he'd be gone, it'd be somebody else. It'd be the successor who would struggle. Oh, well, it's not the same as Pep.
Yeah.
It's like the, what do you do after you win the Champions League? Ah! I'll see if I can get them relegated.
Yeah. Championship challenge next season. Yeah. Look, it's City will put themselves out of this. You would be silly to write them off of any sort of title race already just because of their recent form. Look, they'll be able to pull themselves out. The worrying thing is the manner in which they're conceding goals, and even against Manchester United, having the lead and with 2 minutes left, you've got to game manage that thing and just see the game out. And
they were too cautious in the game for me. They didn't play the way they normally play.
No.
They played without confidence. They played to just win it. And they didn't play with the freedom that they usually play with.
That seems to be the big thing. I was reading on the BBC Live blog before the game that Pep was in his chair in the dugout an hour before the game, just brooding Nixon-like, waiting for what seems like the barbs, and the quotes after the Manchester Derby were fascinating.
Phil Foden's ones I heard, he was talking about it is getting in their heads.
But Pep, like, it's my fault, I'm not good enough. The self-flagellation with Pep is always something to sort of marvel at, because we've seen so little of it in the City era, but now, not in single spies, but in battalions, it is all just coming to a head.
Yeah. It probably makes his achievements with this Man City team all the more admirable, because it shows that any team can have a bad era at any single point of a season. And
I suppose you're not expecting it from City with the petrodollars that they've had, relentlessly going into the team. Amadou Onana's in for Diego Carlos, by the way, only the one change to Villa from the Forest defeat. And then 6 changes for City today. Ederson unwell, so Ortega in goal. And we also have into the City team today Rico Lewis, Manuel Akanji, John Stones, Mateo Kovacic and Jack Grealish. So De Bruyne is on the bench and Walker is on the bench for Manchester City, looking to pull it out, but they're 1-0 down. Enter the weekend behind Nottingham Forest in the Premier League table, outside the top four in the Championship. We also have games at 12:30, which kicked off. Hull 1, Swansea 1, it's Portsmouth 1, Coventry 1, and Sheffield Wednesday, who are down to 10 players, 0. Stoke nil. So rugby wise, Shane, there's not only soccer going on, a bit of URC back in action. We're into the Interpro week.
There is indeed plenty of rugby. Munster claimed the Interpro bragging rights with a last-minute win over 14-man Ulster in the URC last night. Tom Farrell's try, 2 minutes from time, helped the visitors to a 22-19 win in Belfast. A hat-trick for him. This evening, Leinster and Connacht go toe-to-toe at the Aviva Stadium. RG Snyman and Jordy Barrett both start for the hosts, while the Westerners welcome Bundy Aki, Mac Hansen and Finlay Beelan back to their starting 15. Kickoff at the Aviva Stadium is at 5:30.
You were watching Munster last night.
I was. I suffered through the first half. It was not a particularly good game up until that point. And then it really caught fire, in fairness, in Belfast. Tom Farrell had a great game. Shane Daly back on the wing for Munster last night. And Ulster looked like they had it wrapped up. They had Tom O'Toole sent off after half an hour. But that kind of thing where it almost strengthens a team. It bolsters them. They feel a little bit they've got to go and get this now. And for 50 minutes, they really looked like they were going to snatch it. But then, 2 minutes from time, Tom Farrell breaks Ulster hearts. It wasn't a great game for. I'd be kind of worried about Jack Crowley's form, actually. Having looked at it, he kicked only one out of four conversions, and sometimes you have those types of games. But with Sam Prendergast very much in his rear view mirror now in terms of taking that Ireland 10 jersey.
Or in the front mirror.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, he could be chasing now at this stage. And his form has just taken a real dip. Nobody's really talking about him as even an outside shot for getting in the Lions tour. And it's very interesting that it swung like that. And we will see Sam Prendergast tonight. But It's tough when you get the yips like that, and when it gets in your head, it must be very, very difficult, particularly as a 10, to sort of dispel that.
How did Peter McKenna describe Sam Prendergast last weekend? A space bender, that he can bend time and space, essentially.
Something to do with, was a kid's cartoon or something?
Yeah.
Oh, Avatar, yeah.
Yeah. Last Airbender. Is that it?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just...
This is just a way over my head.
Over your head.
Yeah.
For your Christmas Day movie.
Yeah.
I'll be watching The Twilight Zone on Christmas Day.
Are you not a Christmas movie, man?
I'm watching The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Because the creator of The Twilight Zone would be 100 on Christmas Day.
Oh, brilliant. Oh.
He's one of my heroes, Rod Serling. So that's... No other person in Ireland would be doing that.
It's in the movie or the series?
Like, series, the 1959 to 1964 anthology series, which is one of the best things ever created on celluloid.
Yeah, picture a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'd be 100 on Christmas Day.
Wow. Yeah, very interesting.
So that's what I'll be watching. I'd watch my favourite movies on Christmas.
Right, yeah.
But I wouldn't watch Christmas movies.
Well, a lot of
people actually thought, when I was growing up in Dublin in the 80s, Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory
was, Gene Wilder
was,
version.
Was the Christmas movie, was the one that everybody would look out for, mm-hmm. and it would have to be on. And normally be on, because back then you didn't have satellite, you'd get the RT Guide or the Radio Times, and you'd see who's showing it, RT showing it. And you know, somebody like you, that would be the one you'd be looking out for.
Mm.
So that was the Christmas movie. I don't know if you guys growing up, was there a specific Christmas movie? But
I used to love going into Extravision and Chartbusters in these places around Christmas, and you'd pick up your three DVDs for $4.50 or whatever for a few nights. Trying to describe that to my kids will be difficult in the future. They'll be like, you used to go into a shop and there were movies basically hanging on the wall, and you would pick them and pay for them and rent them and bring them back.
With the online world, Shane, you used to go into a shop.
I know.
It will be something of a kind of nostalgic. What
something
are you talking
in person,
about?
Home Alone is the Christmas movie for me. Obviously, a lot of people watch Harry Potter and around Christmas as well. My favourite movie is Castaway, so stick on Tom Hanks' Castaway every Christmas.
Never seen it.
Have you not?
Oh, no. Get on that.
Got a quote tattooed in my arm here, John. Tomorrow the sun will rise, who knows what the tide could bring. So love it.
The greatest advert for FedEx ever.
You know it's
really dedicated.
You know of Wilson, the volleyball and all that. And
no.
Wilson. Have you never heard of this?
No.
Have you not?
No.
This is just a cultural void that you need to
is that mad?
Fill immediately.
You've never heard of this Wilson, the volleyball?
No.
Oh, wow.
We should get a Wilson.
Forget about the darts, John. Watch
my share price dropping.
Yeah. I just
like Pierpoint in industry.
Yeah, forget the darts. Watch Castaway at some point, please, over Christmas. Yeah. Genuinely, and then it does reference Christmas, so it is a Christmas.
Dual screen it.
Yeah. Please watch Castaway.
We are serving up some waffle this Saturday on the news round. So, what about your Christmas movie then?
Oh, it's a smattering of Pixar. It used to be all right. Ratatouille is one of my. It letterboxed the movie app. Let you choose your top four, and Ratatouille is a mainstay there. It's absolutely perfect as a film. I love Paris, love French culture. and I love food. And if you like all three of those things, it's the perfect film for you. Last year we watched Point Break. Never seen that before.
Oh, right.
That's nuts.
Mm, I haven't seen that in years.
Point Break.
Keanu Reeves with
Patrick Swayze. The masks.
Yeah. The presidents.
Yeah. Monty Python was always another staple of growing up. They'd always show like The Life of Brian or The Holy Grail, and once you get late at night, because you know you'd be in that kind of 28, 29th of December, late at night, 11 o'clock, you've nothing else to do, you'd watch BBC Two, you'd watch that. Wings of Desire is my favourite movie about the angel over Berlin when the wall was still up. So
I thought you'd have a different sort of pick.
Yeah, well, there you go. So it's all types of generations and shades here. And so many of us are looking for Christmas gift ideas for loved ones. And Off the Ball is coming to the Three Olympia in Dublin on January 29th to look ahead to another big year for the Irish men's rugby team. Our own Owen Sheehan, he'll host. Guests will include Brian O'Driscoll and Austin Healey, the Irish star Aoife Wafer, and the Dream Team of Gerry Thorney and Andy Dunn. There'll be some great prizes, including tickets for the home games in the Guinness Six Nations against France and England. And that show is the week of the opening game versus England. So tickets remain on sale, but don't delay because they will sell out. And you can get yours for just €23 plus fees at offtheball.com/events. It's all with thanks to Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of the Irish rugby team. Never stop competing.
We've plenty of other bits and bobs happening across the world of sport today. Of course, you mentioned the other Premier League games, but just to give them to people who maybe missed them, high-flying Nottingham Forest away to Brentford from three. At the same time, Ipswich will hope to get a first home win in the league when Newcastle visit Portman Road, while West Ham host Brighton. After Arsenal came out on top against Crystal Palace in the EFL Cup in midweek, the two sides meet again in the evening game in the English top flight. Kickoff at Selhurst Park is at 5:30. The Scottish Premiership, Aberdeen can close the gap on league leaders Celtic this afternoon. Hibs are the visitors for a 3 o'clock start. Some sad news in football as well. Former Stoke, Newcastle and Arsenal winger George Eastham has sadly died aged 88. He made 19 appearances for England and was a non-playing member of the 1966 World Cup winning squad. Eastham lifted the League Cup with Stoke in 1972, scoring the deciding goal in the final at Wembley. He was awarded an OBE for services to football and retired in 1974. And there was the news yesterday in football as well. From an Irish perspective, the former Republic of Ireland midfielder Conor Hourihan announcing his retirement to take up the post of assistant head coach at Barnsley. 33 years of age, he's going to work under Darrell Clarke as they attempt to get them back into the Championship. More than 580 club appearances for Sunderland, Ipswich, Plymouth, Barnsley, Aston Villa, Swansea, Sheffield United and Derby. Can you guess how many times Conor Hourihan was capped by his country?
I know.
You know the answer.
Go on. If you know, tell us.
I'm reading it off Shane's screen. It seems
go on.
36.
I would have gone in the 30s.
Yeah. That's a very, very decent career.
Do you know where his one goal for Ireland came from?
Was it free kick against Gibraltar?
The tennis ball game.
The tennis ball.
Excellent career. And Connor like will have a career in media as well. I know he's been on different times. And
he's been on with us. Well.
He has, Nathan. Indeed. Yeah, he's excellent. The darts. Luke Littler sets off on his PDC World Championship campaign tonight. The 2024 finalist has a second round meeting with Ryan Meikle in the evening session at Ali Pali. Five-time champion Raymond van Barneveld also opens his account this evening, taking on Nick Kenny. Also tonight, 13th seed Danny Noppert faces Ryan Joyce. In the afternoon matchups, Fermanagh's Brendan Dolan is up against Lock Yin Lee of Hong Kong. And 15th seed Chris Dobie meets Alexander Merckx. Last night in London, Tipperary's Dylan Slevin progressed in the Battle of the Irish as he saw off his good friend and Limerick man Willie O'Connor 3-1. Tyrone's Mickey Mansell, friend of Off the Ball Breakfast as well, also progressed. The Clonoe Cyclone seeing off Japan's Tomoya Goto 3-1. He will next play Wales' Johnny Clayton on Monday. Michael van Gerwen raced into the third round as he beat James Hurrell. Van Gerwen committed to the World Championship having not won a televised tournament all year for the first time since 2011. Was very much in control. He will play for Manus Brendan Dolan after Christmas in the next round. It was interesting to watch the Irish lads last night to see Tips, Dylan Slevin up against Limerick's Willie O'Connor. The two lads were on with Owen Sheehan and Off the Ball around about a week ago, I think it was. And really interesting to have two lads who are going to compete against each other the following weekend on the air together. Both very good friends, both wishing each other well. That's a pity that they had to draw each other because we would have liked more Irish players progressing further. But ultimately, Dylan Slevin progressed.
We will talk a bit more darts about 2:45 with Shane. We got this massive fight in Saudi Arabia this evening, the world heavyweight title.
Yeah, very, very well advertised, of course. This fight, Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk meet in their massive heavyweight rematch in Saudi Arabia this evening. The Ukrainian boxer puts his WBC, WBO and WBA belts on the line. The ring walk is due to get underway at around 10:15 Irish time or so. And you see the Saudi influence on sport as well, because Mark Allen had a massive payday in Riyadh over the weekend as well. The Riyadh season snooker championship, a 5-1 victory over Luca Brasel in the final. He had earlier knocked out 7-time world champion Ronnie O'Sullivan in the last four, and £250,000 he banked weeks.
Can I quickly mention the three Irish golfers
yes.
who managed to get their LET tour card yesterday at the Q School in Marrakesh? So Anna Foster came tied for sixth, I believe, in the end in Marrakesh. Sarah Byrne of Douglas and Lurgan's Annabelle Wilson also getting through. We've had Sarah on various shows on Off the Ball over the last year or so. Really interesting story after a great year in her final year of college over in the US. And just a great story that there's three new Irish faces on the LET next year. They've got the top tour card, so they'll qualify. I think the only event that they're not in is the Evian, which is a major. But other than that, they have a full tour card, and having the likes of them joining Leona Maguire and Olivia Mahaffey and Stephanie Meadow all on tour next year at a time where we're kind of struggling for male golf players to come through from the Irish scene. It's great to see so many promising players coming through this year and also next year, because Anya Dunnigan and Bet Coulter are just on their coattails, and it's a really good time for Irish women's golf.
Yeah.
We have horse racing as well today, and Strong Leader is the 6-4 favourite for the Long Walk Hurdle. That's the Grade 1 at Ascot at 2.25. That goes to post. Also racing at Haydock, where the Tommy Whittle chases the feature there. And at Thurles, we've already had two races. So the opener was a handicap chase over 3 miles, went to Cullen Wayne at 15-2. And Simon Torrens rode that for Philip Rothwell, Wicklow trainer. And then another handicap chase over a bit of a shorter distance, 2.05, went to Prairie Dancer 10-1. Aidan Kelly riding for Joseph O'Brien. So five more races at Thurles today as we get into the Christmas season with the King George of Kempton on Stephen's Day. But also, obviously, for closer to home, we got 4 days at Leopardstown and 4 days at Limerick. Remember, folks, your favourite Off the Ball podcasts are available whenever you need them. There are special offers in Apple, or you can sign up monthly via Spotify, plus by just downloading and signing into the Off the Ball app. You'll still get to sample how all of it works with three free podcasts a month on us. If you prefer to watch your OTB fix, become a member on our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe in the platform of your choice. The available platforms are all independent subscriptions. They do not interconnect. You can join now for $9.99 a month or $99.99 for the year. That annual offer, less than €2 a week for more than 50 hours of podcasts. More details and handy links can be found at offtheball.com/join. Will you be watching tonight, Fury Usyk? How'd you see it?
I will watch it. Usyk is so funny. He's a brilliant character to watch. Tyson Fury has seemed very focused heading into this fight. I think he said he hasn't spoken to his wife whatsoever in a couple of months. That's how seriously he's been taking this camp. I mean, Usyk could just rubber stamp the fact that he's the greatest in this division, certainly of this generation. You know, the generation that came before, we can't really speak of, but certainly Usyk is. I'd love to see him do it tonight. And I think a lot of people are going to be watching this fight.
I've no interest.
No interest?
No.
So Cameron won't be watching this fight tonight?
No, just, you know, this whole idea of boxing selling its soul to
Arabians
and seeming like the most willing of all sports. I know loads of sports are involved in PIF now at this stage, but the fact that this has kind of gone a little bit under the radar, and maybe it's the fact it's Christmas, I don't think it's a bad thing.
It's tough, the Saudi stuff. I watch it, but then feel like I have to have a shower afterwards. It's
okay.
Strange.
Okay, Shane Hannon and Cameron Hill, thank you so much for joining me in the news round for the moment. At halftime in the Premier League, it is Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 0. John Duran with that goal at Villa Park, and City's their struggles continue. Remember, 8 defeats in the last 11 games in all competitions. In the Championship, also at the break, Hull 1, Swansea 1. Portsmouth now leading Coventry City by 2-1, and it's goalless between Sheffield Wednesday and Stoke. Now, after the break is the Saturday panel with just the one guest this week, as we bring you an extended interview in two parts with Clare's All-Ireland senior hurling winning captain, Tony Kelly. Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk is back after this.